Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In the Ramanuja and Madhva sects of Vaishnavism, there are extensive descriptions of the Sri, Bhu and Nila energies. In Bengal, the Nila energy is sometimes called the Lila energy. These three energies are employed in the service of four-handed Narayan in Vaikuntha. Relating how three of the Alvars, namely Bhuta Yogi, Sara Yogi and Branta Yogi, saw Narayan in person when they took shelter at the house of a Brahmana in the village of Kehali, the Prapanamrit of the Sri Sampradaya describes Narayan as follows. Tarkya dira rutam tadidam budabham lakshmi taram vakshasi pankajaksham hastadvaye shobhita shankachakram vishnung dadrishur bhagavantam adyam ajanu bahum kamaniyagatrang parshvadvaye shobhita bhumi nilam Pitambaram Pushana Bhushitangam Chaturbhujam Chandana Rushitangam. They saw the lotus-eyed Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mounted on Garuda and holding Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, to his chest. He resembled a bluish rain cloud with flashing lightning, and in two of his four hands he held a conch shell and disc. His arms stretched down to his knees, and all his beautiful limbs were smeared with sandalwood and decorated with glittering ornaments. He wore yellow clothes, and by either side stood his energies, Bhumi and Nila. There is the following reference in the Shri to the Shri, Bhu and Nila energies in Sitopanisad. Mahalakshmir Deveshasya Bina Bina Rupa Chaitana Chaitanatmika Sa Devi Trividha Bhavati Shakjatmana Icha Shakti Kriya Shakti Sakshak Shaktir Iti Icha Shaktis Trividha Bhavati Shri Bhumi Nilatmika. Mahalakshmi, the supreme energy of the Lord, is experienced in different ways. It is divided into material and spiritual potencies, and in both features it acts as the willing energy, creative energy, and the internal energy. The willing energy is again divided into three, namely Sri, Bhu, and Nila. Quoting from the revealed scriptures in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita 4.6, Madhvacharya has stated that mother material nature, which is conceived of as the illusory energy Durga, has three divisions, namely Sri, Bhu and Nila. She is the illusory energy for those who are weak in spiritual strength, because such energies are created energies of Lord Vishnu, although each energy has no direct relationship with the unlimited. They are subordinate to the Lord, because the Lord is the master of all energies. In his Bhagavat Sandarbha, verse 80, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu states, the Padma Purana refers to the eternally auspicious abode of Godhead, which is full in all opulences, including the energies Sri, Bhu and Nila. The Maha Samhita, which discusses the transcendental name and form of Godhead, also mentions Durga as the potency of Supersoul in relationship with the living entities. The internal potency acts in relation with his personal affairs, and the material potency manifests the three modes. Quoting elsewhere from the revealed scriptures, he states that Sri is the energy of Godhead that maintains the cosmic manifestation. Bhu is the creative energy of that cosmic creation. And Nila, Durga, is the energy that destroys the creation. All these energies act in relation with the living beings, and thus they are together called Jiva Maya. Svarupa vigraha krishnera kevala dvibhuja Narayana rupi se tanu chaturbhuja Shankha chakra gada padma maheshwaryamaya Shri bunila shakti yandra charana sevaya. Krishna's own form has only two hands, but in the form of Lord Narayan, he has four hands. Lord Narayan holds a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and he is full of great opulence. The Shri, Bhu, and Nila energies serve at his lotus feet. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandau Sahoditau Gaudadai Pushpavantau Chitrasandau Tamonudau Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Surupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Vanshakalpa Tarupyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, I will try to say something related to today's verse. It's a very technical verse. I'm very unqualified to say anything about these various Shaktis that Prabhupada is discussing. But I had a look at the folio, so I found out something about them. Try and fill in the missing bits. So we're discussing here about the energies of Lord Narayan. So Lord Narayan, he has a swakya relationship with his energies. The Shri, the Bhu, and the Nila energies, they are the eternal consorts of Lord Narayan. Now these energies, they aren't discussed so much in Prabhupada's books. But as Prabhupada mentions at the beginning of the purport, they are discussed extensively in the Sri Sampradaya and by the followers of Madhva. Now the Sri Sampradaya, they are meant to worship Lakshmi Narayan. Actually, there's one purport in Madhyalila where Prabhupada explains that the Sri Sampradaya, although they're supposed to worship Lakshmi Narayan, they generally worship Lord Ramachandra. And the Madhva followers, they're supposed to worship Lord Krishna, but generally they worship Lord Ramachandra. But the literature of the followers of the Sri Sampradaya, as you would imagine, because they're followers of Lakshmi Narayan, would contain extensive detail about the consorts of Lord Narayan, and in particular the Sri, the Bhu, and the Neil Shaktis, which are mentioned in today's verse. So from the Sri Sampradaya, the statement is then given, a description of the Lord and how he's served by his various energies. And the term used is Bhumi and Nilam. So Bhumi means the Bhu Shakti. And Nilam means the Nila Shakti. So it's a slightly different term, Bhumi or Bhu. In one purport in the 10th canto is explained that this Bhu Shakti is actually Satyabhama. When Krishna comes, then the Bhu Shakti comes as Satyabhama. It's still a married relationship. And also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Bhu Shakti is said to be Vishnupriya, the wife of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see how the energies of the Lord, they come in the various incarnations of the Lord, and they have a role similar to how they would be in Vaikuntha. Also is explained that there is an expansion of the Bhu Shakti called Prithivi. Prithivi means the earth element. So who is Prithivi in Krishna's Leela? Does anyone know? This is an interesting point. Does anyone know who Prithivi comes as? Okay, she comes as Kubja. So Kubja is hunchbacked. So the symbolic meaning of that is that the earth was overburdened by the presence of the demoniac kings. So when Krishna stretches out Kubja, the symbolic meaning is that he is relieving the earth of the burden of those demoniac kings. It's a very nice symbolic meaning given in the purport. As for the Sri Shakti, now in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that is, Sri Shakti is said to be Lakshmi Priya, the other wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What then about the Nila Shakti? The Nila Shakti is said to be Navadvip Dham, which is also given the name the Lila Shakti, or the Shakti Durga. It's mentioned in the purport that in Bengal, the Nila Shakti is sometimes called Lila. So I presume that is the reference, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Dila, Lila, and Durga are used to mean the same Shakti. When we try and understand the Shakti of the Lord, it gets very complicated, because sometimes many names are used for one Shakti, or sometimes one name is used to refer to many Shaktis. Also, we sometimes get that we have a category of energies, and the name given to the category is also the name given to one of the subcategories. Like we have the Chit potency, means the internal potency of the Lord. But then we describe there are three divisions, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So Chit means all three potencies, but it also means the knowledge component of the Chit Shakti, you see. So it's confusing. And in today's purport, it's said how Durga has three divisions, Shri, Bula, and Nila. But as I mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's said that Nila is also referred to as Lila or Durga. So the term is used again. And we have, I mean, just to confuse things further, we have how the Shri, Bula, and Nila Shaktis are expansions of Durga. But in the verse about from the Shitopanasad, it's said that they are expansions of the Icha Shakti. So what does that mean? Does that mean the Icha Shakti is the same as the Durga Shakti? What's going on here? And we understand the Durga to mean the illusory energy, but here later on it's saying Durga is the energy that destroys creation, whereas Nila is the energy that creates, and Bhu is the energy that creates. And where's the Shri energy? Shri is the energy that maintains. So in so many ways, you read about these different energies and you get different descriptions, and how to piece it all together. It's not easy at all. Prabhupada gives the example of a group of blind men. They're trying to understand what an elephant's like. So one blind man, he touches the trunk and he says, oh yes, the elephant is like a snake. Another blind man, he touches the leg of the elephant. Oh, the elephant is like a pillar. And another man, blind man, he touches the belly. He says, oh, the elephant is like the underside of a boat. So in this way, they're all giving what they're saying is true, but who has got the full picture? We don't. So long as we're conditioned souls, we will never understand the full picture. We need to get realization. Namnamakari bahuda nijasarva shaktis. But the names of the Lord, they possess all his potencies. So all the potencies, they can be understood if one simply sincerely chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's all about realization. It's interesting. What is the connection between all this philosophy, all this analysis, and the spiritual realm? It's an interesting question. And it's discussed in Jiva Dharma. Now, there are two objections that can be raised, and I'll discuss both of them. One of them is this. What is the point of all this analysis when the spiritual world is beyond analysis? Achintya kalo ye bhavana tungs tarkena yojayet. In the Bhishma Parva Mahabharata, it's said that the spiritual realm cannot be understood by logic. So in response to that, an analogy is given. It is called the Arundhati Darshan Nyaya. And what that means is the logic of seeing the Arundhati star. So the idea is this, that the Arundhati star is very, very dim. So if you try to point it out in the sky, it is practically impossible. But very close by, there's a very bright star. So what you do is you first of all point to the bright star. Everyone sees the bright star. Then you say, very close, you will see a dim star. That is the Arundhati star. In this way, one can be directed towards the Arundhati star. So the scriptures are like that. They are right in front of us. They have analogies that involve material nature, which we are familiar with. But simply by studying these material analogies, one gets an indication of the spiritual world, which is very far away. So that which is very distant can be understood by pointing to something very obvious. This is how it works. And it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarva Shraya Pratishloki Pratyakshari Nana Arta Hoya. that the Bhagavad literature is Vibhu. It is actually the non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is Krishna Tulya. It is non-different from Krishna. And prati shloki prati akshari nana artahoi. Every sloka, every syllable contains newer and newer meaning. So we understand Krishna, he is Sarva Shakti. This is one of the fundamental truths of Vaishnavism. There are 10 truths, Dashamula Tattva, which the Vaishnavas have extracted from the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the third of those truths is Sarva Shakti. The Lord is full of all energies. Therefore he can act. He acts through the scripture. He is manifested as the scripture. It says in the age of Kali Yuga, this is the Puranarka. This Purana is like the sun. Krishna's left, but the Bhagavatam is still present, and Bhagavatam is Krishna. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata. So through the Bhagavatam, he can manifest, because he's the Lord of all potencies. So all his energies and all his realizations, they can come through 18,000 verses. Finite, what appears to be a finite scripture, unlimited meanings can come out. Another analogy, we had the Arundhati Darshanyaya. Another one is called the Chandrasakanyaya. And it means the same thing, that the moon is very far away, but a branch of a tree may be very near, and the moon is behind the branch. So if you point to the branch of the tree, then you can see the moon. It's the same analogy. So let's give some indication as to why we analyze. Why does Prabhupada analyze the Sri Bhu and Neel Shakti? Why do the Sri Sampradaya analyze these Shaktis? Because one will get direct realization. So that is one. There's one objection which is raised in Jiva Dharma. There's another interesting objection, and it's the argument is put in a different way, and it's as follows: given that you have been able to analyze the energies of the Lord in such minute detail, why do you say it's inconceivable? See, we start off with the statement: well, you've analyzed it, so how can it be inconceivable? You've obviously you are conceiving of the various energies and you're elaborately describing them. So the answer given to that is. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Shishi Sitala Lakshmanamana ki, Shishi Gornitai ki jai. The answer given there is this, that although individually we may analyze the energies of the Lord, their esoteric interrelationships and their subtle juxtapositions cannot be understood by the limited jiva. So we get an idea of the energies in their static, separate forms. But what's actually going on, we don't know. It says in the Shvetasvatara Upanishad, Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyati Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The energies of the Lord are unlimited, and they operate inconceivably. Swabhaviki, they operate naturally. We don't know how they're working. Prabhupada gave a very nice example. He said, you take the sunlight. This is a nice example. The sunlight is one. We don't have different types of sunlight. But when the sunlight hits a tree, it produces one effect. When it hits a flower, it produces another effect. When it hits a blade of grass, another effect. So much variety. You have a pink flower, you have a tree with thick leaves, you have thin-leaved grass. So much variety, but the energy is one. So Krishna's energies are like that. They are one. Yes, the energy is one, but it has many varieties. So we can say that, for example, that the illusory energy is one with the internal potency, but yet at the same time is different. So the eighth truth, we have the 10 truths of Vaishnavism, the eighth truth is Beda Beda Prakasham Sakalam Api, that everything, all of creation is a manifestation of the Lord, one with him and different from him simultaneously. See? So Swabhaviki, the energies are working automatically. Now, Prabhupada mentions here that the Sri Bhu and Neel Shakti, they come in from the Icha Shakti. And in this verse, which is from the Sita Upanishad, three Shaktis are mentioned. The Icha Shakti, the Kriya Shakti, and the Sakshat Shakti. Now, I'm assuming, as I say, we'll get back to this problem of different names. We don't want to guess, but I'm assuming that this corresponds to what is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as the Icha Shakti, the Jnana Shakti, and the Kriya Shakti. Perhaps the Sakshat Shakti is the same as the Jnana Shakti. Either way, I will discuss Icha, Jnana, Kriya. So it is explained in the I think it's in Majjalila, that the Lord has unlimited Shaktis, but three are prominent: Ichha, Jnana, and Kriya. So the Ichha Shakti means the desire Shakti. The Jnana Shakti is the knowledge Shakti, and the Kriya Shakti is the activity Shakti. And then the statement is made, Ichha, Jnana, Kriya, Bina, Nahoya, Srijana. Without those three Shaktis, nothing will be created. Now this is we can get to something tangible here, because this statement can be analyzed in terms of material analysis. It's not very esoteric. We give an example of, say, a skyscraper. If you look at a skyscraper, then for that to exist, first of all, someone must have desired to build the skyscraper. Someone must have had knowledge of how to make it. And some person or group of people must have actually undergone the activity of building. So the three things are there: Ichha, Jnana, and Kriya. So it's the same with a large creation. Unless he desires something to exist, it won't exist. Unless the knowledge is there, and of course the knowledge will be there, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without that knowledge, it will not exist. And Kriya Shakti, without the activity of creation, it will not exist. So these three components must be there in all acts of creation. Prabhupada gives a nice analogy. He talks about the wings of a butterfly in one lecture. And he said, this is an indication of the Jnana Shakti. So foolish people, they think that creation just appears automatically. But Prabhupada said, no, there is Ichha, there is a desire, and then there is Jnana, there must be Jnana. So the wings of a butterfly, they're so symmetrical, they're perfectly, the pattern is the same on both sides. Very beautiful. A while ago I went to the Natural History Museum at Tring. They got very nice butterflies and hummingbirds. There's so many nice species. It makes you lament, because most of them are extinct, because too many people have gone around with their little nets catching pretty butterflies, and now there's not many left. There's so few left. It's a great shame how the beauty of creation has shrunk due to what Prabhupada described as the ukra karma of the modern materialists, who have created factories which bellow out smoke, and all the people, they have to work inside the factories just for the benefit of a few wealthy people. This is exploitation. So simple living, high thinking. We have to go back to a natural way of life, one that is in harmony with the environment, and one in which one human being does not exploit another. This is the unfinished business that Prabhupada had. He said, I have only given you half Varnashram Dharma, the other half. So we're looking at the various species. So Prabhupada makes the point. He says, well, the Jnana Shakti, this is why the wings of the butterfly are so perfectly designed. So we have, last time I gave class, we were discussing evolution. So I had a look in Canto 6, the sixth chapter, there's a description of the wives of Kashyapa Muni. And it's actually saying, from their wombs, different species were born. So it's inconceivable. Even serpents, describe one serpents, they were born from one of the wives of Kashyapa Muni. So how is this happening? It's the creative, the Ichha, Kriya, and the Jnana Shaktis. So what does this all mean for us? Well, I'll try and bring it down to something that's applicable to our devotional service. Well, the last line has the answer. It says, Yanya Charana Seva. All the Shaktis, they are engaged in the service of the Lord. So practically speaking, if you want to know what is the common nature of all the Shaktis of the Lord, is that they're all servants of the Lord's feet. Even the Maya Shakti, even the illusory energy, is a servant of the Lord. Ichano Rupa. She acts according to the desire of the Lord, as explained in the Brahma Sangita. Ichano Rupa Api Yasya Nachestatisa. She is endeavoring according to Krishna's desire. Material energy is acting completely according to the will of the Lord. Therefore, energy means submissive. And we are energy. Jivara Surupahaya Krishnera Nichidas. Krishnera Tatashta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. We are simply the Tatashta Shakti of the Lord. So that means that our natural position is subservience to the Lord. So we have to follow in the example of the various energies that aren't conditioned, like the Shri Bhul and Neel energy. They're all Yanya, Yandra Charana Seva. And I was mentioning how these energies of the incarnate in Krishna's leelas. They have different forms. So in the pastime of Draupadi meeting the queens of Dwarka at Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse, Draupadi asks each of the queens, how did you get to marry Krishna? And the answer is very interesting, because the mood of the queens come out. They're not like talking about their palaces and their opulences. They're all very humble. And they're just discussing how they are servants of Krishna and how they are attached to his lotus feet. And you see that great humility, and it's an indication of the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, that we all should strive to take shelter of those lotus feet, which are Navanava Rasa Dham, as Yumanacharya says. They are the source of ever fresh rasa. So in Rukmini, when she's explaining how she married Krishna, she says, Tat Sri Niketana Charano Mamarchanaya, I desire that I may always be able to worship those feet. She's very humble. And Bhadra, Queen Bhadra, she says, Asya me padasam sparsho, bhavej janmani janmani, may I birth after birth be able to touch Krishna's feet. Why are the queens saying this, birth after birth? They're thinking that they're ordinary souls. Of course they're liberated, but they're thinking this way. And Mitravinda, she says, I would like to be able to wash his lotus feet, anubhava, which means birth after birth. And Kalindi, she says, aham tad griha marjani, I am the sweeper in Krishna's palace. This is her ecstasy. So there's an indication of the ecstasy of devotional service, that even the queens who have so much opulence, their ego, their spiritual ego, is focused on serving the lotus feet of Krishna. So why is this? It's because this is where the nectar is. There's a statement in the next chapter which explains this, that if I can remember how it goes. Krishna ra samata hoiti bada bhaktapad. Higher even than equality with Krishna is bhaktapad, the position of being his devotee. Therefore, the entire spiritual world is the devotee of Krishna. And even Krishna becomes the devotee of Krishna. That's why he comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he doesn't want to miss out on this sweetness. It's explained that this, by serving Krishna, one tastes the sweetness, but if one is not serving Krishna, one does not taste the sweetness. Therefore, there's a statement in the third canto, Salokya Sarsti Samipya Sarupya Katvam Apyuta Diyamana Nagrinante Bina Matsevanam Janaha. The devotees of the Lord, they will not accept the five types of opulences if it means they give up the service of the Lord. This is the highest position. And guess what? It's available on planet Earth. You can sweep the Lord's temple. Prayojana is not the only one that can do devotional service. We can all do manual, basic devotional service like the queens of Dwarka. Because on the absolute platform, this is the highest. It is higher than being equal to Krishna. And if we reflect on that, then we may become more inclined to engage in practical devotional service. Because the tendency is in this material world that we don't want to serve. In the material world, the servant is the low position, the master is the high position, and we all hanker for the high position. And the whole education system is based on this. People are all brought up to think, I must work hard so that I can occupy the top position. So whether one is by nature Kshatriya, Brahmana, Shudra, or Vaishya, everyone gets the same education at school, and they try and make everyone study mathematics, science, philosophy, all the difficult subjects, literature. So everyone's trying to be a Brahmin. But it's crazy, because what happens? People end up twiddling with their pencils, making fun of the teacher, because they're just not interested. Some people have a certain nature, and that should be engaged. So these people are a lot happier when they have apprenticeships. You can learn an art or a craft. And actually, this is the way, I did 2 months teacher training before I dropped out. But I noticed that was the way they were going back to that system. Because they had a system where everyone was trying to learn all the academic subjects. And then they were thinking, well, this isn't working. We can't control the children. And they were thinking, well, apprenticeship seems to work better. So they were trying to introduce that. And so people aged 16, 17, 18, they could stay at school and do something that they liked doing. I mean, quite a few. But last year I was getting some work done on my house. And the person who was doing the job, he was just a young man, but he's very, very good at it. And he was explaining to me that when he was at school, he was just, it was a nightmare. He just couldn't relate to the classes. So then his uncle took him. His uncle was a builder. He could build, like, build a wooden staircase, etc. So his uncle took him and he taught him, and he was very, very happy. This is what he wanted to do. And as a result, he's now very successful. He's very good at what he does, and he earns a good living out of doing it. And this is natural. It's because we all have a certain nature which must be engaged. So this is the... Yeah, I was, why did I get onto this? Oh, yes, I was talking about everyone is trying to be the master. So this is, it's just foolishness. In the spiritual world, the position of servitorship is higher than Krishna, the position of Krishna. Krishnara, Samata, Hoiti, Bada, Bhaktapad. So we can remain as Bhakta. Don't try and become Krishna. None of this Mayavad nonsense. Are we finishing at 8:30? Okay, so comments, questions?